말해 나는 좀 마음 반나 코위기 동안에 탈제 탈바다 탐지진표 토야다 엔제와 치마 엔디 지기야 엔디 밀리 사다 미고 원 토야 엔디 된데야 엔디 지요야기 당한 저기 탑람 두비야기 다되는 좀 냠는 제고레스 디 냠는 제다데 간에 제고르스는 또 심기 때도 안 냠는 제고레스 但 냠는 제에디에는 가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르가르
Good morning. For these few days that we've been together, we've been looking at how we all have an innate wish to be freed from pain and misery. And when we look in detail at the sufferings that pervade samsara, it's these sufferings in their entirety that we long to be freed from. We also, when we think about, we turn our mind to future lives, it's very clear we'll all want only a good rebirth as a human or a god. And in fact, in this very life too, we only want to experience happiness. And to achieve that, to achieve all of these goals, depends on us training our mind. Now, over these 8 classes together, we've looked at various techniques to train our mind. Because the technique in brief is to eradicate all minds that bring harm, those which are unwholesome, and to cultivate and strengthen those which bring benefit, those which are wholesome. So to do so, we've looked at 5 trainings or 5 spiritual instructions. The first was to develop the determination not to create any further causes for our own suffering, nor to harm others. And here we cultivate ethics, ethical restraint, of restraining our mind from coming under the influence of the afflictions, and thereby restraining our physical behavior and our verbal communication. The second training was to turn our mind to who is the complete and unmistaken guide, and that's the 3 jewels, with the understanding that the actual refuge, the actual protection, is the generation of the Dharma jewel within our own continuum. And thirdly, the third training was to expand what we've now cultivated through ethical restraint and refuge, recognizing that all sentient beings are no different from myself. The exaggerated value that I place on my own happiness, in fact, the obsession I have with my own happiness, is entirely misplaced. Others all yearn to be freed from suffering, just like I do. And at a fundamental level, we are all the same. Using that reflection as a basis, we generate love for all beings. May they experience only happiness and compassion. May they be freed from all suffering. We do so for all beings. And we develop this further to the point where it's not just a mere aspiration, no matter how heartfelt, may they be happy, but it's where we take responsibility for others to be guided in how to cultivate the causes for happiness and how to eradicate the causes that will otherwise lead to suffering. And we develop that determination to the point where we commit to strive to become the most skilled of guides so that we can help beings in the very best way possible, strive to become a Buddha for the sake of others. And this is the generation of bodhicitta. And this is the technique to eliminate grasping at oneself as dear. So that then is the third training. The fourth we've looked at is recognizing that all phenomena arise dependently. None of them exist in the way that they appear to consciousness. And we use that then as the basis to reflect on emptiness, coming to recognize through dependent arising that all phenomena are empty of existing in the way they appear. So it's through cultivating, in the fourth training, the wisdom realizing emptiness, together with dependent arising, that we completely eradicate the ignorance of true grasping. Then, having meditated on these four trainings, firstly, ethics, refuge, then thirdly, bodhicitta, and fourthly, the wisdom realizing emptiness, one strengthens, in the fifth practice that we've looked at, one strengthens one's virtuous qualities and expresses one's understanding of emptiness and bodhicitta in our interactions with others through training in generosity, patience, joyous perseverance, and concentration. And in particular, we looked at yesterday at generosity, where we cultivate the sincere wish to be of benefit to others, to give of ourselves to others. And we do this, and to the extent we develop this generous outlook, we eliminate the contrary mind of miserliness, the mind that is focused on achieving or protecting ourselves and our own happiness. So these five spiritual instructions is the method that we looked at thus far to achieve a state of lasting happiness, freed from all suffering. Today we are continuing, we're going to conclude with the text, where the majority is about the dedication of the virtue that has been accumulated.
Kala Shimbuji,
무지지게디나 살직 제라고 때 야구래다 선배가 소소 가오고 뭐 그래지 네 가오고 바이나네 선배 마샤바다 뭐 바네 제기 제 야구는 거 근데 선배 샤나 샤샤바네 딘 균이 라는 데 말에 맞다네 딘이 소소 경화라 그러 봐
What is emphasized in the concluding passages or the concluding verses is we are exhorted by Gelwa Gendin Gyatso to use well what remains of this life. Because it's all too easy to be overwhelmed by procrastination, by misprioritizing what is important. To transform our mind, to transform deeply held habits, takes sustained effort. As we saw in the previous verse, unceasing effort. This is essential. We need to focus on our mind, train our mind continuously, unceasingly. Our time together here has given rise to great or the development of imprints of incomparable value. And if the teachings you've received and the meditations you've engaged in, if you just leave it at that after this retreat, those imprints will all have great value in lives to come. They'll be difficult for transformation to come in this life if one does not continue with what one has been engaging in this long weekend together. So just like in our own daily life, we would be very happy if we have a meal that is particularly delicious. But if all our other meals, or the vast majority of our other meals, were inadequate, or didn't taste good, we'd feel a bit of a loss. But if every meal was delicious, we'd feel that at least our meal time was being utilized well. So likewise, we should view our life, what remains of this life, as an opportunity, at every moment as being an opportunity to transform our mind. And this is done through taking these teachings and meditations that you've engaged in here and continuing to apply them in daily meditation and keeping them present between meditations. And as one feels, as one does this, engages in spiritual practice repeatedly over a sustained period, one notices a transformation within oneself. One notices how we interact with others and how we respond to life's difficulties in a different way. This will give us courage that spiritual transformation really is possible for me in this life. And if we combine this courage then with a delight in what we are doing through recognizing the benefit, those two together will spur us to make use of every moment to be of benefit to others through training our mind. And in this way, we'll readily embrace every opportunity, whether we are alone to guard our mind, or when we're engaging with others, to engage with them in the most beneficial ways. This way, we don't waste a moment of this life, but rather we embrace what remains of this life to use it in the most beneficial way possible.
자 Dine salji jeban, a tenga dine jeban, beya ure esenbe ge susu kawa kumbi, de kawa kumbu ya chit, kumbay na, dine susu ya ure chere. Da chi chige salji gmada jeya regmina, jeg na min jetu gmina, da shi asho lamna, da di yongra ge ure chere.
To bring about a determination, the strength of mind that one requires, one needs to see the great value in that goal, and thereby we'll put the effort in to achieve that. And this is something that's true in every walk of life. For example, if there's somewhere that you've longed to visit, somewhere that's perhaps very famous in the world, somewhere of outstanding natural beauty, and you've longed to go there for many years, even just going visiting just once, you'll feel a sense of accomplishment. And in that period of preparation, where one is longing, yearning to go there, one's making all the necessary preparations, reprioritizing one's life so it's possible, then that result comes about, and one will feel a great satisfaction. So too here, to utilize each moment well, we need to see the great potential that abides within us. We need to, together with us, see the great value that comes in transforming our mind. And through this courage that arises, we'll be able to more readily apply ourselves to guard our mind at all times. Now, the ninth verse, the wonders of samsara generally end in misfortune, especially in the great abyss of the three lower realms. That frightful time for all people is approaching with the rapid advance of the enemy, armies of the Lord of Death. This expression, the wonders of samsara, or the delights of samsara, this refers to all that we utilize within cyclic existence, utilize or enjoy, make use of in cyclic existence. So we could think of our body, our natural environment, and all that's found around us, in that it has all come about independent on contaminated karma that was accumulated, or the causes of which were accumulated through activities of the afflictions. So therefore, all the wonders, the delights of samsara have come, are results that have come from the ripening of karma that was accumulated by afflicted minds, minds that were influenced by the afflictions. And this means that there is no lasting happiness to be experienced by any of the delights of samsara, or anything that we utilize or enjoy in samsara. So if we take us as an illustration, our body, those of us who are have aged somewhat, we have seen for ourselves or experienced for ourselves the change in our body, that we were at one point young and strong, and we had tremendous energy and felt quite invincible. But with the process of illness and aging, we come to see that this body, which is also a, I don't know if you call it a wonder of samsara, but it's certainly something that we utilize, it in its nature has no lasting value. It declines, it degenerates, it ends in misfortune. So the case for our body, it's a case for all that has come about in dependence on contaminated karma and afflictions. So too with a beautiful natural environment. We may enjoy a garden, but all the enjoyments within that garden, the garden itself, will wither and die. There is no lasting value to be found in the wonders, the delights of samsara. And this is the case for all beings within samsara, whether humans or animals or even those in the god realms. Remaining bound in samsara, all that is utilized will end in misfortune.
Anjidane khurvi punto le denning bo meba dine re sa ta lhabar do se re gwe gwe nga so sum bo yang sa che se de chinan gwe lhabar do se gwe se lhabar do se dine lhabar do ane nga so sum nya wa yi da dun ju gi ne de le ya je wa na pe chi nga so yang sa che se de da yang bo chi de chen bo de ma sa na yang chung chung ji ne de ma sa de ga le ne na zhen yong wa wo ra chen bo shi ma sa na ne de che ge dine xi da Miawa Yida, Dunro Sumbo, Dele, Jigma, Kor, Given, and Dele, and Kalemanga, Kaleche, that Dungama, Yonga, Kangache, Gores, that Dunroche, Dunrole, and Hava, and Yida, Idale, and Kangache, and Mani, Miawa Yuba, just a Yansa Ches, or Labardu, Mansuchi, the Mille, Givene, Nazar Yuada, Kanga, Mongoche, and Tamalia, and Jigi, Nimbu Miva Chadria. Hale kebe ne 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 kukanga da mongbu yongaya da din tambali ni mongbu cha de nga zi kogu jidang le re es. Da meni da nga zi mili keba na la na kabre liya di ji ta ya da ji hu ra shi le le che che yungu ruwa da wane. An di na shi. Di le dunro sumbo de la da nyawa si dunro la di le nga zi mi da la la mili ti ne dunga monga da kanga monga ni yungu re es. An di le ane mani da de nye yi da da.
Meaning contained within this first line is of great importance to reflect on. Because it's through reflecting on this, we come to recognize that all the delights of samsara, which tend to the achievements and enjoyments of which tend to dominate our mental energy and our physical action, so have no lasting value at all. Reflecting on this well serves to aid us to reprioritize our life, refocus onto what does have lasting value. This continues in the second line, especially in the great abyss of the three lower realms. So this term great abyss is explicitly used because if at the end of this life we fall into the lower realms, it's not like if we, in this life, we stumble and fall into a ditch on the side of the road. This is like falling off a cliff into a deep abyss. Because the suffering that is experienced by beings in the lower realms is incomparably worse to what we experience in this life. As humans and as gods too, some happiness is experienced. But in the lower realms of the hell beings, spirits and animals, happiness is rare to non-existent. So this too serves as a warning, serves as encouragement to focus on what is of value, what is of lasting value. That frightful time for all people is approaching with the rapid advance of the enemy, armies of the Lord of Death. What's presented in the final two lines of this verse is the situation we all find ourselves in. And if you reflect well, the situation we are in right now is as if an army were approaching us, and their goal was to take our life, was to kill us. And that is the situation we find ourselves now, in that the armies of the Lord of Death, or the time of our death, this is nearing. Not only is it nearing, but we are helpless in delaying it. For all of us, our death is certain. The time and manner of our death is unknown. Not only is our death certain, but that it is nearing is also certain. And we can recognize this through reflecting, as was mentioned a few days ago, that there are so many causes for life to end, and so few to sustain it. And life ends in this wide variety of ways, many of which are unexpected. We see this in the news, people dying from a wide variety of events, whether it's from violence, or from natural disasters, or from accidents. These deaths were all unexpected, and preparation is unlikely to have been well done for them. So this too is a key point to reflect on. The meaning of this verse is firstly that the delights of samsara, which the most useful way to relate to this term, wonders of samsara, delights of samsara, is it's what is has come about in samsara due to contaminated karma and afflictions, and tends to be what we are drawn to, what we desire, both material goods as well as thought, views and philosophy. These are what draw us. But we need to ask ourselves whether they have lasting value, value beyond this life. Moreover, our death is certain, and it can come at any time. Death is certain, and its arrival is largely unexpected. And our future life, and the attainment of a life beyond this, a life after this, is also certain, but the direction that we will head in, this is unknown. So these are key points that we need to understand here, that so much of what we put our time and energy into has little value. This life, though, is of a finite length of time, and its end is coming. And the rebirth that will follow, this, the quality of that rebirth is still unknown to us. So therefore, we need to use what remains of this life well. As I said in our first session, if we prepare well before a task, that task will go well. And if that objective we have set is difficult to achieve, if we are prepared well, we will still have confidence. So if we use what remains of our life well, then when death comes, we will be able to face it with confidence, fearlessly, knowing that we have created the causes that bring about good results. Moving to the 10th verse, when abiding in Tushita, the palace of Dharma, before the powerful lord of the 10 grounds, the undefeated protector, and amongst the community of countless bodhisattvas, who is teaching there the Mother Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, at that time, unhindered spiritual progress is attained. Looking at the first few lines, when abiding in Tushita, the palace of Dharma, before the powerful lord of the 10 grounds, the undefeated protector, and amongst the community of countless bodhisattvas, this is then describing the god realm of Tushita, or the land of joy. And within Tushita, Maitreya, who's here, is referred to as the powerful lord of the 10 grounds, the undefeated protector. Maitreya is teaching the Dharma to a host of countless bodhisattvas.
Gomba Di gomba di da chizun jamba gomba shuksa ki gomba di re. Din maa chidan zhongkhe na xe, gaden se de zhongkhe tek chenpo di re, di shu yor. And ni maa zhanyo jumbe ni di shu yor. Di da gomba di chwe sunghan bombo ra xe lama chen de, da gyebo ro xe de, chwe sunghan chi de zhanyo jumbe ni di shu yor. Da zhanyo jumbe ni maa zemulin ya pero che du, and da chizun jamba gomba, and 결혼될까 휴시 다디기 네 잡지 결혼 제고로 해서 네게 잡도 거지 지산 네 두신의 거네 아니 두신의 지진감 잡고 뭐 휴대 다 몸바나 전부리리아 초고 주게 넘바도 폐인데 지지 잡고 뭐데 안 되는 마야 전부리리아 두신의 상유 전도에 나지 폐야 돼 온 두신의 지산 다다 다디 내가불다 되네기 가된기 네들 수유여서 지지 잡고 뭐 휴대 해지래
The god realm or the deity realm of Dushita was the abode of Buddha Shakyamuni before the causes and when the causes within our world were sufficient that he could come into this world, be born in this world and turn the wheel of Dharma, he abided in Dushita. When those causes ripened and he took birth in this world, he requested Maitreya to remain in Dushita and to teach the Dharma there to the community of countless bodhisattvas. And later, when the causes are once again accumulated for a wheel-turning Buddha to appear in our world, then Maitreya Buddha will come from Dushita and reintroduce the Dharma into our world.
Ani karinan gore sene, se pame senbi tso namla yum shirchin dunbi dun satira zin. Chidan deli ya, da se se diyo da korong loma se gore, loma. Bado meba janshi senba ta dini ki, yandhi chike, bado meba dini yore zin. Jesu konsol ya, ani karasundu zin, shirchin ki dodi ki sung gore zin, ma chui sung gore zin, shirchin ki dodi ki, nyamlan jeta rinba tiki ma sung gore zin, shirchin dunbi dun satira.
And the third and fourth line present what the activity that Maitreya is engaging in the place of Dushita, and the audience to whom he is engaging that activity. The third and fourth line, and amongst a community of countless bodhisattvas, is teaching there the Mother Perfection of Wisdom Sutras.
Desada 동반이 어디?
Then the fifth line presents from the perspective or the side of the students, the bodhisattvas. At that time, unhindered spiritual progress is attained. Receiving teachings on the perfection of wisdom, they are engaging in the cultivation, the meditation on the six perfections, in particular from amongst the six, the perfection of wisdom. And they are able to do so in a manner that is unhindered. There are no obstacles to their engaging in the Dharma, their cultivation, their development of the Dharma. The meaning then behind this 10th verse is that we are expressing the aspirational prayer, may we be born there too, so that we can have unhindered spiritual progress.
That
This 10th verse builds on what was looked at in the 9th, where in the 9th verse we recognized that in samsara, all beings who find themselves in samsara, all beings who have physical mental aggregates that have been attained due to contaminated karma accumulated by the afflictions, their experience is pervaded by suffering. And this is the position we all find ourselves in. Not only is our experience pervaded by suffering, but the afflicted minds are strong and they deceive us so readily, leading to our accumulation of non-virtue and causes for suffering. Recognizing that, the aspiration arises to become a being that is not deluded by the afflictions and is actually freed from them. One generates the wish to become a bodhisattva who is not overwhelmed by the afflictions, or in particular an Arya bodhisattva who is freed from them. Because being a bodhisattva, or in particular an Arya bodhisattva, one will not only not harm others or create the causes that would harm oneself, but not being influenced by the afflictions, we will not suffer. And thereby we can be of great benefit to others. But in order to achieve such a state, here in the 10th verse, we are expressing the aspiration to have the conditions, the ideal conditions for spiritual training, where our spiritual training can be unhindered, free of obstacles, and thereby we can attain the state of a bodhisattva, in particular an Arya bodhisattva, so that we can be of ever greater benefit to others. So here the aspiration is being expressed to be born in Tushita, so that we can rapidly spiritually develop, no longer being harmed or influenced by the afflictions, and thereby can be of greater benefit to others.
That is why we can say that we can do this, and 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 we can do this,
Understanding the hindrances that we have now to spiritually develop, how difficult it is for us to strive wholeheartedly, we see, we recognize how much easier it is to spiritually develop if one has ideal circumstances for spiritual development. And the conditions in a place like Tushita, those favorable circumstances are unsurpassed. It's a place free of conflict, free of deception. There's no possibility for the rise of afflictions such as anger. There's no engagement in non-virtue of any type. Rather, one is solely focused on virtue. And therefore, rapid spiritual progression is possible. With this understanding, both of the difficulties of remaining bound within samsara, as well as the ease or the difficulties of spiritual development in samsara and the ease of spiritual development in a place like Andan or Tushita, one generates the aspiration to be born there. Comparing the two situations outlined in the previous verse and this one, we understand that even when one attains a good rebirth in samsara, as a human or as a samsaric god, one's experiences remain pervaded by suffering. And moreover, as we saw in the previous verse, at any time, death can unexpectedly be met, and we are always therefore in danger of falling into the great abyss of the lower realms. This danger is ever present for all samsaric beings, all beings within samsara. However, if one accumulates the causes to be born in Tushita, there, because of the unsurpassed favorable circumstances for spiritual development, one will not accumulate any further causes that could potentially lead to rebirth in samsara, let alone the lower realms. And this is because one can spiritually practice and spiritually develop without hindrance. So this is the stark difference between being reborn in a good rebirth as a human or god, as opposed to be born in Tushita.
When one attains rebirth in
in Tushita, one trains well in the Dharma, progressing through the various paths of the Bodhisattva. When one attains the state of being an Arya Bodhisattva, then, having gained freedom from the sufferings of samsara, and that one not facing any danger of being deceived by afflictions, because one has attained freedom from samsara, merely through the power of the Arya Bodhisattva's aspiration, they will appear in the in ordinary worlds amongst beings who are still trapped in samsara. And they will do so out of their sincere wish to be of benefit. They will know that now they can benefit others due to being greatly skilled. And whilst benefiting others, they will accumulate no causes for suffering. So then, the Arya Bodhisattvas will, through merely their own aspiration to benefit others, take rebirth amongst ordinary suffering samsaric beings. This verse specifically refers to the god realm of Tushita or Gandhan, but this is not the sole a place where beings can take rebirth and rapidly spiritually develop. Another is that of Devachan, the land of great bliss, where in Tushita, Maitreya is the teacher. In the land of great bliss, it is Amitabha. There, in that god realm, just like with Tushita, the abode is free of conflict, free of beings acting under the influence of the afflictions for their own self-interest. And one has all the required conditions to engage in wholehearted spiritual development, free of hindrance. So when born in pure land such as either of these, one has unsurpassable opportunities to accumulate virtue, and one actually lacks the opportunity to accumulate non-virtue. These are places where one can spiritually progress without obstacle, without hindrance. whilst we can't perceive places such as the land of bliss or Tushita, then, you know, the land of bliss or great joy, then whilst we can't perceive them, because we lack sufficient merit to be able to perceive them, we know about them because of the presentation of all the Buddhas and many other great beings who have spoken about these places. So we can come to, we can accept that such places exist based both on trust and using our own reasoning. Through using reasoning and intelligence, we can establish that such a place will exist.
And this is how you said that the head get your suit and Anzugi, that Tongo Mara, you Tongo Mara, Tongo Mara. That in Anzugi Tonga to get a Dundori Mambuora, Dundori, and some Tonga to get Dundori Mambuora, that in Isa, Ndosine, that is what Anzugi, Matomba in that, then may wear your mother, maybe Chava your mother.
The key point to take here, and also in general, is just because we have not perceived something, that does not mean it doesn't exist. For example, we are not aware in this life, we have not perceived in this life of the lower realms, in particular of the hell realms and the spirit realms. So too in this life, we don't perceive the ordinary god realms within samsara, nor have we perceived all the beings within those realms. Those beings for us are unseen. But something merely being unseen or unperceived by us does not make it non-existent. For example, there are innumerable classes or types of animals that exist in this world that we haven't seen. And there are even those that no human has recognized yet. They are still unknown species. It doesn't mean they don't exist, though.
Have
these kinds of doubts are not unusual. For example, in, I think it was 1955, then, 1959, then a Chinese military leader approached the monks in one of the monasteries and said, you talk about all these realms, you talk about the god realms, the hell realms, and so forth, where are these? Show me. And of course, they couldn't produce and show it to him. And in fact, this military leader said, if you show me where the hells are, I will destroy them for you. I will go there and bomb them and destroy them.
That ya chizun chamba kumbo siyati dandala ane kaoshu yores ane yini katen liya shu yores ta katen ki shu de deli ya ane chizun chamba kumbo ki shesingyo doyde ki paa sung chine ma chi chue nyamlendi ki paa den chi tuk chine kora janshu sima paa dumya paa sung shu de yores sida ngangazu yine tse deli ya tarba dang ane janshu simbe paa bi ki janshu simbe lam nyamlendi gyule ki ma tuba yina ta ane ngangazu nyamlendi ya ko ti ki lam gyule ki ma tumna dine
The meaning in brief then, to summarize this 10th verse, is that in this life, should we not attain the state of a bodhisattva, in particular that of an Arya bodhisattva, we can generate the aspiration, may we be born in Tushita, where we will have faultless, good conditions, so that we can receive teachings from Maitreya Buddha himself on the perfection of wisdom and be surrounded by innumerable bodhisattvas. And thereby, our spiritual development will be rapid and unimpeded.
As we saw in the seventh verse, all phenomena arise dependently. Rebirth arises dependent on causes. Rebirth in somewhere like Tushita, this too comes about in dependence on causes. So what are those causes? So those are the self-same causes that we've looked at thus far. Ethical restraint, the determination not to come under the influence of the afflictions. In particular, when that is focused on the objective of not wanting harm to come to others, of not wanting to be someone who brings harm to others. So an other-centered focus. Then building on that, cultivating love and compassion for all beings through reflecting on our equality, that there is no real difference between us, and thereby developing an attitude that holds others as dear, the other cherishing mind. And then in conjunction with this, engaging in the practice of generosity, developing the wish to give of ourselves to others. Also, based on cherishing others, we develop love and compassion for others. And with love and compassion, as well as ethics, these are the indispensable foundation to practice patience. This too is a required cause, as is joyous perseverance, the delight in engaging in virtue. All of these serve to help build our qualities, and perhaps we are able to even generate bodhicitta itself in this life. That then, combined with our cultivation of wisdom, these are all causes that will lead to excellent rebirths, including rebirth in the place like Gandan, in Tushita. One additional cause, these are those that have been mentioned, one additional cause is required. And that is this virtue that we accumulate through these varying trainings, we need to dedicate to this goal. Or we need to express the aspiration through prayer to achieve this goal. So either dedication, which is the merit we've accumulated through these practices, we dedicate to this result, or through making a prayer, expressing an aspiration. This is the additional cause required for this desired goal to be achieved. And to understand the importance of dedication, again, we take illustration from our own life. If there's something that we would like, and every now and again we maybe think, oh, it would be nice if I had that. It's not so likely we will achieve it, because the progression of our mental energy in that direction is quite weak. Whereas if it's something we strongly desire, that it dominates our mind, it will pervade all our actions. And in this way, we'll be sure that to achieve that goal, we will do our very best to accumulate the causes. And just like in our daily life, if we are focused on achieving a particular goal, it's much, much more likely that that goal will be achieved. So too, with the dedication of virtue. If one has a particular goal at the forefront of one's mind, so that it pervades all our activities, then our dedication too will be done with sincerity, and the attainment of that goal will eventually come about. The 11th verse, whatever virtue done from now by means of your three doors, dedicates as causes for rebirth in that very place, as life spans in degenerate times are fleeting, do not fall prey to laziness again. Looking at the first two lines, whatever virtue done from now by means of your three doors dedicates as causes for rebirth in that very place. Here, as has been mentioned many times, training in Buddhism, or the practice of Buddhism, is to train our mind, and thereby our mind, as it becomes ever more virtuous, so too will our physical behavior and our verbal communication. And all the merit, the virtue that we accumulate through physical behavior, verbal communication, and in particular our mental activity, this we dedicate. And we dedicate to the attainment for all beings, the state of unsurpassed enlightenment. And moreover, so that we can swiftly and in an unobstructed manner attain enlightenment ourselves for the sake of others, may attain rebirth in Sushita. The next two lines, as life spans in degenerate times are fleeting, do not fall prey to laziness again. So here, the author, Gyawa Gendun Gyatso, is once again reminding us that the end of this opportunity, the end of the opportunity we have to spiritually develop in this life, as well as this life itself,
can end at any time. It is certain that we will die. Also, it's certain that each opportunity ends. And whilst it is certain that death will come, none of us can say whether we will die tomorrow or today. But it is certain that it won't be long before everyone and everything and I will all be gone. So therefore, he's exhorting us, he's pleading with us to be mindful that this opportunity is ending. And as we remain very ordinary beings, there's always the danger that we will fall into the lower realms. So don't delay, don't procrastinate. Focus, identify and focus on what is important. Prioritize what is important and put your energy, in particular your mental energy, there. Leave aside what has no lasting value.
In our time together, you've been guided in how to identify which minds are wholesome and need to be cultivated and how to do so, and which are unwholesome and how to eliminate them. So to present in a very brief form the meditation that I really hope you are able to engage in every day, is to reflect on the equality of all beings, to overcome this bias and partiality that we have, this feeling of isolation and separation from others, reflecting that at a fundamental level we are all the same. We all want happiness and to be freed of suffering. And as we are all the same, I will strive to bring about the benefit of all, which means I will strive to develop bodhicitta within myself, so that I can help others achieve happiness, freedom from suffering. And to do so, I will turn to the three jewels of refuge, because it's through the guidance of the Buddha and the Sangha jewel and the cultivation of the Dharma jewel within myself that I can fulfill this aspiration. And in this journey of fulfilling the aspiration, the foundation of all qualities is cultivating the mind of ethical restraint.
I commit then not to harm others. I commit to not harm others, even mentally, to ensure my mind is not under the influence of the afflictions. And moreover, I will ensure I bring benefit into the lives of others. Here one reflects on generosity, that I will utilize all that I have, not just material, but inner qualities too, to benefit others. And I'll benefit others using my intelligence. Where I have the skill and the capacity, I'll benefit others directly. Where I do not now have the capacity, I'll use what I have to indirectly benefit others by ensuring I continue my spiritual development so I can help them ever more in the future. Thereafter, reflect that all phenomena arise dependently. So every object of thought, even in this meditation, arises dependently, doesn't exist by way of its own nature. Nor do I, nor do sentient beings, nor does the goal of enlightenment. It is all naturally empty. Reflecting on this way, again and again, we come to recognize that whatever arises as appearance to consciousness, we experience it as being just like an illusion. Then, when you come now to the conclusion of the meditation, one's mind will be light, joyous, unperturbed by the difficulties of life, and use that to prioritize what is of value, what is important, and commit again and again to ensuring that throughout the day one keeps one's mind focused on virtue and doesn't allow one to be overwhelmed by afflictions or to be distracted and overwhelmed by things, trying to achieve things of no lasting value. And then come to dedicate. Dedicate the virtue in the way that has been briefly presented here. And I also want to say that the steps of this meditation are not fixed. Independence on your own predisposition, you can change the order of the sequence. For example, start with refuge, recognizing that it's through turning to the three jewels for protection, in particular thereby generating the actual protection, the Dharma jewel within, that one will develop the skills to actually attain bodhicitta and so forth. Thereafter, having gone for refuge, one meditates on bodhicitta, emptiness and so forth. So the sequence of the meditation, this is not fixed. You can play with it, engage with it in a way that works best for you. These spiritual instructions to practice in order to prepare for the time of death that Gyawa Gendan Gyatso composed, he did so for all beings. So myself and all of us, we here now have the advice to what to cultivate and how to do so to have not just a good death, but good rebirths. So this is advice for all of us.
Oh,
There's time together now. This too is came about in dependence on causes. Those causes are now exhausted. Our time is concluded. But we have accumulated so much virtue, so much merit in this time together. And this is something certainly I rejoice in, and I encourage you to recognize what you have done, both in accumulation of causes to have the capacity to make that decision and have the opportunity to come, and then to engage in the way that you have here, to listen attentively and meditate well on these precious teachings.
And fourth,
of course, to have been the success that it is, has come about in dependence not just on one or two causes, but a wide variety. So within this, I want to give particular thanks to Gyatso, who would have excellently led many meditations and was a key component in making this course possible.
And then, of course,
to the entire staff and volunteers who have made this course possible, with both, of course, Dundrup and Andy, as well as the army of seen and unseen helpers, as well as not just those that are present, have been present for this course, but who over many years have contributed to creating the causes that have brought this week, made this weekend possible. As our text said, all phenomena arise dependently. So that I had this opportunity to reflect on this text in doing my preparation, as well as whilst teaching it, and thereby create so much merit, I want to say thank you to you. Because this course is mutually dependent on all of us. I would not have been able to teach this if there hadn't been a course arranged by the staff of Atsushita, the staff of Atisha, or the students of Atisha coming together. So thank you to all of you. Now the final conclusion, I'll just guide you through the dedication, because we will be about to recite many words which have great meaning, but I want to add to that meaning to keep in your mind. So firstly, the object of our dedication is that the happiness and elimination of suffering for all sentient beings in all circumstances, in all realms.
The
as we've looked at this morning, we dedicate that not just ourselves, but all sentient beings, through the dedication of this merit, attain rebirth into Shita, so that they can continue their spiritual development unimpeded, without any danger of falling into the lower realms. Further, dedicate that all the suffering experiences in this world be ended. All the conflict that exists, whether it's expressed through warfare, or between conflict between communities, or whether it's conflict at home, may this all end. May all physical illness also cease. And may this come about through the dedication of this merit, that all beings' minds become moistened by love and compassion, and thereby attain lasting peace, peace of mind, and thereby may there be only expressions of love and compassion across all worlds. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.